This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Lexington, Kentucky, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 24th, episode 1659.
And I'm Tara Carter, coming to you live from the Kentucky Horse Park with day one of our 3 days of coverage of Road to the Horse. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products and Horseware, with hotel accommodations provided by Fairfield Inn North in Lexington, Kentucky. Good morning, Horse World.
Founded by Tootie Bland and her late husband, Steven, Road to the Horse has grown beyond what they or anyone else involved in its humble beginnings could have ever dreamed. This unique competition brings together the world's top trainers and clinicians. They will gentle a horse in adjacent round pens, while thousands of fans relish every moment. Combining education and entertainment, Road to the Horse is truly a one-of-a-kind event.
Well, welcome everybody to the Kentucky Horse Park here in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm so glad that you decided to join us this morning. We have a lot planned for you over the next couple of days from Road to the Horse. This is our fourth time doing Road to the Horse, but this is Tara Carter's first time. Hi, Tara.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Good to have you along. We had fun yesterday. We'll tell you a little bit about that, running around everywhere. And we're going to talk a lot. We're going to make this easy for people who are coming to Road to the Horse for the first time. We're going to explain how it all works and kind of a little bit about the history of it. We're going to talk about past champions. We're going to talk about past competitors. Tara happens to know one very well. So,
yeah.
Matter of fact, one of his babies is right outside our window over here. So we're going to talk a lot about the history of it today and really get you caught up on who the competitors are for this year, because this year it's different. It's all cowgirls this year.
That's right. Long live cowgirls.
So I had to have one of the finest cowgirls I know, and that's Tara here this year. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I was really thrilled to be able to join you.
Now, it's 3 days of coverage. I don't know how you're listening. You're either listening live on Horses in the Morning or Horse Radio Network or on our app, on the Horse Radio Network app or on the website. No matter how you're listening, we're glad that you join us. Don't forget that if you miss any part of the coverage any day, the recorded version will be available immediately after the show. So you can go to horseradionetwork.com or Horses in the Morning and catch the recorded version. But one of the easiest ways to listen to the recorded versions of all of our shows, all 13 of them here at the Horse Radio Network, is on our Horse Radio Network app. Go to iOS or Android, search for Horse Radio Network, download the app. It's the simplest, easiest way to listen, even live. Now, we are sitting, just to give you an idea of the layout here, we're at the Alltech Arena at the Kentucky Horse Park, which is the arena they built for the World Equestrian Games. I remember when I was here in 2010, Tara, I watched the vaulting in here. When we watched reining in here, they were both held in here in 2010. So that was kind of cool. That's my first memories of this arena, was watching reining and vaulting in here.
It's kind of home to some pretty incredible horse events.
You know what? This, I mean, you could talk more about this than me, but this arena is set up beautifully. There's about 8,000 seats and there's no pillars. And I know that you compete and you've been to a lot of arenas that have pillars and line of sight isn't very good. There's not a bad seat in this arena.
And the lighting's really good. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you think about or you sort of maybe take for granted as not being great. But this arena, like you say, it's really well set up for viewing, performing.
Now, we are in the press box, which is the glass enclosed box that's on the side of the arena. So we probably have the best seats in the house, actually. But now, you probably will hear the music. As soon as we started the show this morning, they cranked up the music in this stadium. So you'll probably hear that a little bit. as we go through. And you'll hear the announcer and everything. And we're at a live show, so that's what happens. They're getting prepared on the stadium floor to do signing. They're going to let everybody in. And they have all the competitors down there. They have some of the past champions, Chris Cox. I think Richard Winters will be down there. I would assume that Stacy Westfall is going to be down there, and then all the competitors this year will be down there, and they'll do signings for them. And there's always a long line of a couple hundred people.
Yeah, that's right. They're already lined up outside, and it's a little warmer today than yesterday, but it's kind of nice when it's got a little bit of a sunshine and not too much of a breeze when you're waiting in line.
Now, the Road to the Horse, just to give you a real quick basic, and then we'll go into a little more. But what it is it's the World Series. It's the premier colt starting competition in the world. It really has become that. This is one of the very few events here at the Kentucky Horse Park at the Alltech Arena that sells this arena out every year. Now, there's very few events that do that, and this is one of those. So there'll be 8,000 screaming people in here by tonight on round one. The competition has not officially started. That'll happen this afternoon, and we'll go into more about how that's all going to work a little bit later in this episode. But so that's kind of setting the scene. We're just looking at a bunch of empty chairs right now. They're getting all of the sound set up and ready to go. It's quite a technological wonder here. The TV guys are in here with us, and they were setting up, and their setup's a lot harder than ours. Although maybe not Jennifer would argue with that this morning.
Yeah, that's right. It's all relative.
Getting ours
definitely argue that this morning.
And that's Jennifer, our producer, and we were spending a couple hours trying to get this set up today. So thank you, Jennifer, for your work. We appreciate it. Now, Tara, so this is the premier colt starting competition. It happens over a couple of day period of time, and we're going to go into more about how that works. But I first want to learn a bit more about you. How many Road to the Horses have you been to?
I've been to, kind of the big year when everyone competed, when Pat Pirelli competed, when Clinton Anderson and Chris Cox, when those three all competed together. That was the first year I came. My husband Trevor was actually a pin wrangler for Pat Pirelli that year.
Oh, really? Then, I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. And then Trevor came in 2013 to pick out his horse for the wild card competition. So we came that year. Then we came the next year. He competed in the wild card. And then we came the year after that. And then this would be my fifth time here.
Yeah. And you were actually a pen wrangler because your husband did compete here the 1 year.
Yes, that's right.
And so you're going to have a unique perspective because you've been down there on the arena floor and you've had to help him and you saw the training and you were in on the strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole time.
A little bit. Yes.
Yeah. She's being modest there. I think she was in on it more than she lets on. The pen wrangler's job's important.
It is. I just, I think I was, I mean, Trevor knows what he's doing, so I was there for support, and I mostly ask questions because I like to learn, too. You know, I learn a lot from Trevor, and so in some ways I'm helpful, but in some ways I'm asking questions to learn more about what he's doing and why he's doing it, so.
And you've broken a few babies in your time.
Yeah, I've a handful.
Yeah.
That's not my primary role, but I enjoy doing it. I enjoy learning about it because I think the start's just as important as, if not more important than some of the other things.
Yeah, for sure. So we are going to explain how it works now. So this is what's going to happen. There are three rounds. Today, later on in the day, not till 4 o'clock or at 3 o'clock, the horses will come in. They are from the 4-6's Ranch. Let's talk a little bit about them. And you've been to the 4-6's Ranch.
I have. I've driven by it more than I've been to it, but we went there to pick up horses 1 year when Trevor.
Big place, huh?
It is.
Yeah.
Beautiful, a lot of history, and they're doing some really impressive things within the horse industry.
And that's in Texas?
Yes, in Guthrie. Yes.
And they have a few horses there.
They do. I don't know what the number is, but they
have
a lot.
It's got to be a couple hundred, doesn't it?
Oh, at least.
At least, yeah. It's a big place. It's like tens of thousands of acres.
Yes.
And the horses come from there. They're quarter horses that they'll train here. So a lot of the starting competitions that you'll see, whether colts or otherwise, are Mustangs. You'll see Mustangs started in different countries. You'll see the Brumbies in Australia. But here we actually have quarter horses, and they're well-bred quarter horses, right, out of the 4-6's Ranch.
Yes, a lot of them, you'll see a couple of some of the bloodlines. Well, one thing about quarter horses is they're such a versatile breed anyway, but they kind of have a ranch horse part to their bloodlines of the horses that they bring here, and they sort of have a performance part too. So you're getting a really neat mix. And the performance isn't just one particular discipline. They've got some running horses. They've got some speed event horses. They've got some Western performance, like cutting cow horse type events. So they're really bringing actual, like, real ranch horses, kind of what fits my definition of a ranch horse.
Do we know how old these horses are that are in the Remuda? By the way, for all the English listeners out there, I learned that a Remuda was a gang of horses.
Yes.
A gaggle of horses is pretty much what a Remuda. First year I came, I had no idea what a Remuda was. It's not an English term we use very often.
No, it wouldn't be. Yes. So these are three-year-old geldings.
Okay, so they're all three-year-old geldings, and they've been touched in that they have had halters on, and they've been gotten their shots and feet done and things, but they have not been worked with at all.
Correct. Yeah, basically just maintenance. Care and maintenance.
So we're pretty much bringing in a feral wild horse at this point. They've not had any training done with them at all.
Yes.
It's interesting. They brought 12 this year, so they're going to have 12 to choose from. And this afternoon, about 3 o'clock, they're going to bring them all in the ring. And now the competitors have had an opportunity to look at these horses over the last couple of days down in the pen. Mm-hmm. Today, they'll bring them into the arena here, and they'll let them run around a little bit. And the competitors will get one last look at them, and they'll kind of have their favorites already picked out, won't they?
Yes. They're looking for a variety of things. I know yesterday we went and talked to Rochelle, and
she we'll told hear that us in a little bit.
What she's kind of looking for in a horse, but they all know what, you know, the colt starters know what their strengths are, and so they're looking for a horse that will, you know, play to those strengths and that they can offer to the horse. So,
well, and we took a look at the colts yesterday, and there was one gray one that I would have taken home. He was a sweetie. He came right up to us in the ring. Do you look for that when your husband was looking? What was he looking for?
Well, Trevor loves horses, so he kind of wanted to take them all. But but you know, it just, he likes a horse. Trevor's got a lot of energy, and he can do, you know, 30 things at once, as people saw, like, as he talked and rode around and stuff. So he's kind of looking for a horse that can do a lot of different things too, kind of not necessarily slow and easy, but I don't know, just has a little bit of life to them. But what's interesting about the gray horse, I don't know if you know, but he's partly related to the horse that Nick Dowers rode last year that won the competition. So it's interesting.
Oh, I have good taste.
It's
then.
Interesting that he came up to you and has a similar nature. So
yeah, his horse
last year was
one of the kindest ones out there, actually. You know, yeah.
Yes, and he did a nice job with him.
Jennifer,
too,
you would have liked this gray. I took a picture. I posted it on Horses in the Morning's Facebook page, and the gray came right up and got right in my face for the picture, and he was like, "Oh, what you doing?"
Yeah.
You know.
And last night he checked out one of the banners, which has kind of a lot of horses have a hard time with the tarp during the obstacle course. And it's white and has some writing on it. And he checked out a banner that was really similar. So I look for someone to pick that horse.
I have better taste
more than
I
just
thought.
You. Yeah.
So that what they'll do is they'll bring him in. Now there's 4 competitors this year, and we're going to get to those in just a second. But they'll bring him in to the ring, and the 4 competitors will then they'll draw out of a hat to see who gets to pick first. I think they've already done that part. So, and then they'll just start picking horses. 1, 2, 3, 4. Those horses then, the ones that aren't picked will be brought back to the holding pen. And the 4 that were picked are going to be put into round pens. And the first round of competition starts today. They have an hour and a half in the ring today and tomorrow.
Yes.
So they get a total of about 3 hours with them before Sunday. And I'm taking a look at the schedule here. I think, we get a 5 or 10 minute break. They have breaks that they have to take, so they're not working the horses solid for an hour and a half, right?
Right. There's kind of a mandatory time, and sometimes you have to take at least a portion of that break during the first 60 minutes or the first 30 minutes. So it ensures that you don't, you know, just work a solid 60 minutes and then take a break. So there's some stipulation as to when you must take a portion of that time period.
And that's not necessarily because of physical. They're not wearing these horses down, believe me. It's a more of a mental thing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, sure. And it's just a safety deal to make sure that they're putting the horse first.
Yeah. And you know what? Most of the competitors, almost all the competitors we've seen over the years have done that anyway. If they thought the horse needed a break, they took a break.
Yes.
Because they realized that that's not doing them any good in the long run either.
Yes. And sometimes a break, you know, if you're going along and you're making great progress with the horse, sometimes, and you might have to take that 5 minute break at that certain period in time. And so it's also managing that too, because it might be great if you just had another 30 seconds, but you didn't manage your time and you got to get out of the round pin. So it kind of adds a degree of difficulty for sure.
Now, they'll do that today. They'll spend an hour and a half in the ring with them today, and they're trying to get them. They're basically getting them to the point where they can put a saddle on. And sometimes in the first day, they actually do get a saddle on them. Sometimes not. Depends on the progress of the horse. And every horse is different. One of the things, because I was so new to this when I came 4 years ago, and I'm not a horse trainer. So for me, I was looking at it from a completely novice's point of view, right? I've seen my wife train horses over the last 30 years, but I'm not a horse trainer. I was fascinated. I thought I'd be bored. I really did. Yep. I thought I'd be bored. And I know there's a lot of horse husbands that end up getting dragged to this. And I've talked to a few of them, and they're not bored either. And the reason is, with them all in round pens in the ring at the same time, the horses' personalities from the stands truly come out. Yes. And the personalities of the trainers, too, but more so the horses. And it's so fun to watch the horses' progression, because tomorrow they'll have an hour and a half of training in the round pen again. And then on Sunday is the final day. And I'm trying to see if they do not get more training. No. So on Sunday, they go right into the finals, which is an obstacle course that Tootie Bland puts together, the organizer of the event. That's just bizarre. Yeah. She puts more wild things into the obstacle course, and you never know. She never lets out what it's going to be.
That's right. We just know it won't be chickens.
And truly, the competitors don't see that obstacle course till a half an hour before.
Right. Right. That morning, they have a certain period of time. Oh, yeah, on Sunday, and they have to stay in the back in their own separate private rooms, and no cell phones, no nothing, and so it gets a little boring back there for them. So yeah.
It takes about an hour and a half to set the thing up.
Yes,
it takes a while to set it up, and then they come out, they walk in for the first time. Tootie walks them through, and there's a lot of obstacles.
Yes,
this isn't two obstacles; this is like 15 obstacles.
Yes. Yeah, and that's after they do a set of compulsories on the rail, showing a few, you know, just basic handling type things:
walk, trot, canter. Yes. Yeah, lope. And then feet handling. They have to be able to pick up their feet,
yes,
get on and off, which sounds like an easy thing, right? But
yeah, not on a horse that's only been mounted maybe 10 times, maybe. Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. If you got lucky.
So we're going to be here all day. We're going to be here for 4 hours on Sunday, giving you a play-by-play of what's happening in the finals in the obstacle course. It's a lot of fun. We did it last year. We had a good time doing it last year. So that's how it works. And at the end of all of that, they pick a winner. There's judges here that will do the judging. There's kind of audience favorites, too, because there's 8,000 screaming people. These fans are rabid. They know everything there is to know about Road to the Horse. And as Tara will attest to, if you're doing something wrong, they'll yell and scream at you. And
in a very helpful, audible way.
Or not so helpful sometimes. But we're going to take a break for our one of our title sponsors today. And then we're going to come back and we're going to tell you all about the competitors, all the cowgirls this year.
He was her first love. The one that started it all. He taught her how to master the posting trot and navigate her first hunter course. They spent hours together exploring the trails and hanging out in the barn. His name was doodled on every page in her school notebook. His coat gleamed in the sun as he met her at the gate each day, snuffling for a treat. From the first time she saw him poking his head out of the stall to the last time she patted him goodbye, he was, and always will be, her everything. This love story is brought to you by Nalox Advanced, providing complete support for a healthy digestive tract, which reduces the risk of colic and digestive upset. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
And thank you to KPP for their continued support. Our first sponsor 9 years ago, and we're at their home territory. I ate dinner last night, not too far from where they're at, actually. All right, let's talk about our competitors for this year's first all-female competition. And we have coming to us from the longest distance, actually, Vicky Wilson, who is out of New Zealand, and she is the first English rider. Sarah Dawson today, we're going to talk a little bit about rides English, but Vicky is truly an English rider.
Yeah, primarily that is what she does.
Yeah, so this is the first time, I think, that we've had an English, truly English rider here, because Sarah Dawson does Western too.
Right.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how the English rider compares, and we're going to talk more about her. But Jennifer, we have a little bit of a sound file from Vicky with her own words from the other day.
Hi, Road to the Horse fans 2017. I am Vicky Wilson, and I'm incredibly excited to meet you all. I show jumped to World Cup level in New Zealand and have huge dreams of competing internationally overseas. So our main focus is show jumpers, but I enjoy training in all aspects. Outside of the competition arena, I guess I'm well known for my demos that I give throughout New Zealand. Jumping over a car bareback, jumping over another horse, meet 82 bareback. There's lots of different things, demo horses, bridleless bareback work, got Pegasus horse. I really enjoy that. It's about giving back and being able to entertain and educate others. So from a very young age, I've broken in domestic horses and unhandled horses from stations. But over the last 4 years, I've had quite a lot of work with wild horses from different countries, New Zealand, Australia and America. So that's been really exciting and very rewarding. Very different journey to a domesticated horse. So working with young horses, I believe it's our platform to educate them for the rest of their life. So set them up for success right from day one. And so we're trying to set up every situation that they'll see for the rest of their life. And we get horses that are very unhandled, scared of people. We get a lot of horses that we have to fix. And those horses, it's about trying to get inside their head and what works individually for that horse. We don't apply the same method to every horse. We believe every horse has a different way of learning. And it's about assessing that horse and seeing at what stage they're at, how much pressure that horse can cope with, and setting a program that suits them to win.
And it sounded like she did that in aviary. I obviously done in New Zealand where there's a very loud birds.
It's, like... it's actually wild for me. Trevor and I were in Australia for a little while teaching, and like, you know, birds that you would see in the zoo here are just coming to land in your yard that morning. So it's, that's kind of what I picture when I hear that sound bite, is I go, oh yeah, she's got some, you know, exotic bird there, cockatoo with fancy feathers, and it's like their sparrow, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, she is out of New Zealand. She is one of the most successful and well-respected show jumper riders down there. She won the Lowry Medallion 5 times, which is kind of their big show jumping award, and the Nationwide Cup 9 times, more than any other rider in New Zealand's history.
It's amazing.
Since 2012, along with her sisters Kelly and Amanda, Vicky has become widely known for her work with wild horses, and I know she's done the New Zealand wild horses. Can you say that name?
Oh, I've heard her say it, and to try to emulate it's a bit hard.
I cannot say it. Starts with a K.
Kamanawas or something.
Yeah. I can say Brumby, the Australian.
Kamanawas.
Something sure. Like that. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
She's also done American Mustangs. When we interviewed her about 2 months ago, I asked her what was one of the highlights of her horse time so far, and she said coming to America she was here for 6 months, I think, and training American Mustangs was one of her highlights. And she's done wild horses in Australia, New Zealand, and yet Mustangs were kind of coming here was kind of the thing that she remembers the most. So that was kind of neat. Let's hope that she can handle quarter horses.
Yeah.
The Wilson sisters also have one of the top rated TV series over in New Zealand, and it's about dealing with wild horses in New Zealand, and it's kind of a reality show, The Three Sisters, and it's very popular. I mean, mainstream popular, not just with horse people. So that's kind of cool that they're celebrities over there, and they're, you know, they're not just horse celebrities. And it's kind of cool how that works. And so we got the chance to chat with her a little bit yesterday. What did you think when we got to talk to her yesterday?
Well, just from what I've heard and read on the radio and some of the impressive demonstrations that I've seen her do, and from what I heard on the show where she talks about walking on airplane wings, I just thought, wow, this girl is adventurous and going to be bubbly. And she was very focused. And it was very interesting. That's not what I expected at all. So,
more laid back than we thought.
Totally. Yeah. And just listening to that interview again after I met her, it really rings true to me, like how clear she is on what she's doing. And it's really
interesting. She's also, what came across to me being... I read business people too, being in business for so long. She's a very good business person.
Yes.
She has that down also.
Yeah.
And well, which is why they're so successful. at what they do. But yeah, she definitely was more laid back than we both thought she would be. And she talked about wing walking. This is a girl that has done almost every adventurous thing you can think of. Including walking on the wing of an airplane.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she is truly a wild child and loves adventure. Yeah. So she's got a new one coming here with 8,000 screaming fans.
Yes, she does.
Later today. Now, why don't you talk a little bit about the next competitor that we have?
So Rochelle Valentine, she's down in Florida, New Smyrna Beach, Florida. She's an assistant trainer with Sean Patrick. When she graduated high school, she jump-started her career working as an intern with Clinton Anderson. And soon after that, she stepped into a position with Dion Locke, who's a reining trainer. She focused on starting colts under saddle and preparing the early reining maneuvers. And she was really proud to learn, you know, what it takes to take a horse from start to start developing him for performance, and was really proud to basically hand them over to Dean to be able to continue on in their training. So
Sean Patrick's been a guest on our shows for about 8 years now, and he lives in Florida. We've been to the place over there in Florida along the coast. They live right outside of New Smyrna Beach, which is right below Daytona Beach.
Oh, nice.
So they have a nice spot. They're literally 20 minutes from the beach.
Yeah.
So it is a neat place in Florida. It's a huge training place, and they have like 600 acres there. It's huge. I mean, it's a big place for Florida.
Yeah.
But she is such a sweet person, and we met them down by the pens yesterday, Sean and Rochelle, and I think we have that audio too. So are you in the zone? Are you now? We're talking before the competition starts, and you might be taking a peek at some of the horses out here. I'm not sure. But are you ready?
I am. I can't wait to get started. Right now, I'm looking at some of the horses from the Bermuda, and I have my top four picked out. That may change tomorrow a little bit, but we're excited.
Yeah, well, it's going to change if you go last in the and some of them are picked already. Do we know the other events? That's done by a coin toss, isn't it, or something?
Yeah, they're going to do the coin flip today, and then we'll actually choose our horses tomorrow.
Got it. And are you excited to be down in the ring helping her out?
I am. I'm really anxious right now. We're excited. We're not nervous, I guess, in a bad way, but we're sure ready to go. We, after looking at the horses and seeing the deal and going through the judges' meeting, we're anxious to get in there and start working.
Any new rule changes for this year, or anything that you thought was a surprise? Or
not really. It's pretty consistent with what I've seen in the past out of the horse DPs.
And have you practiced bossing Sean around?
Yeah.
Practice listening, Sean.
Yeah. We've already missed two meetings, but.
What do you think? What's the thing that you're most concerned about?
I'm not really concerned about anything right now. I just need to get all my ducks in a row and make sure that. I guess it depends on if we get the right horse. You should, quite frankly, be able to handle any of the horses. Just whether or not they can do it in the time frame, that's going to be the tough part.
So. That was the right answer, by the way. That was a good answer. Now, they'll change tomorrow night. We might have a different answer to that question.
We'll have to see.
What's your criteria for finding the right horse? Like, what are the things you're looking for?
I want one that's bold.
Yeah.
So if it's a little more dominant, a little more pushy, I'll deal with that on day one, day two. Day three, it could come in handy.
So you've been here before. You've seen all of this happen before. What do you want to see happen in day one with that horse?
Good time management's key, obviously, and getting her to establish a connection with the horse and kind of figure out the horse. It seems like time management and go forward are the two keys to winning. So if we can go to the third day, have forward taught, I know that we'll have a handle on the horse by then, but will he go forward and be agreeable? So, you know, keeping his interest and getting respect from him and building that trust at the same time is tricky when you don't have a lot of time. So that's the challenge, I think, is doing what we need to do in a short time period and not run out of time.
And as we learned last year, take your breaks when you're supposed to.
Absolutely. I saw that happen. Sean's going to make sure we keep good track of time.
That's good. That's good. We saw what happened last year, so we don't want that to happen again. And we were all in the stands going, hurry up. Because this audience knows the rules better than you guys do. There's no audience in the world that knows the rules better than the competitors. This audience, Road to the Horse. Because they've been here for 18 years, yeah, you know, watching every year. Thanks, guys. Good luck.
Thank you.
Well, that was Rochelle Valentine and Sean Patrick, who's going to be her her pen wrangler. And, of course, they work together every day. So with Vicki Wilson, we have a jumper rider and a trainer of wild horses all over the world. And then with Rochelle Valentine, we have somebody who's really worked on reining quite a bit her entire life. And then our third competitor is Sarah Dawson. Tell us a little bit about Sarah.
Sarah is a past competitor at Road to the Horse. She competed in 2013. She is a daughter of horseman and clinician Richard Winters, a past world champion in 2009. And Sarah actually was his pin wrangler in his Road to the Horse competition. So, and I think he's going to be her pin wrangler here at this event. So kind of a bit of a swap. She's earned two NRCHA World Championships. She was the 2015 Snafflebit Futurity Limited Open Champion, along with being a finalist in every NRCHA Premier event, which is pretty amazing.
And the NRCHA is the National Reined Cow Horse Association, which is what you guys do.
It is, yeah. Yes. We do cow horse and ranch horse stuff.
Yeah.
And although the cow horses are really the bread and butter of Sarah and Chris's business, Chris Dawson is Sarah's husband. They're recently married. She also has experience training and showing in the English discipline of three-day eventing. So that's where you were talking about. You know, Vicki is primarily English, but Sarah actually does both sides of the coin.
Very good. And I just got a message from Jennifer. We'll talk more about Sarah, but I just got a message from Jennifer that we're supposed to give a shout out to April and her friends that are waving to us in the stands. So I am looking to see if we can see them. I don't know. We have a lot
need
of listeners
some,
that
need
are
some
coming.
Jumping jacks or something, yeah. Maybe, not just waving.
It's a big stadium. So, hi, April, and hi, friends. Look left, they said.
Oh, I see them.
Do you see them?
Yeah, okay, right up at the top in the middle.
Oh, there they are.
Zoetis and...
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Good to have you here. So we're going to see a lot of our listeners. By the way, I would give a side note. Anybody that is listening that's in Lexington area, we're doing a meetup tonight at the Grey Goose Restaurant in Midway at 7:30. So if you want to join us, we're having a bunch of listeners. I didn't even tell you about it yet.
Yeah,
we're going to meet there. I actually ate
glad
there last night. It was really good. You are invited.
No.
I'll invite you to dinner, okay?
Okay, thanks. Oh, wow.
So Sarah Dawson. So Sarah's interesting because she also is an eventer. She's a three-day eventer. She is a three-day eventer, but also has competed, obviously, in Reined Cow Horse. So she does both.
She does. And I think it's very – one thing I love about this lineup of cowgirls and competitors is that not only do they start horses, but they have taken it from starting to developing to competing in the arena. And there's not many out there that are doing that. And it's really impressive. And the fact that Sarah's doing it in both is really awesome. There's a lot of clinicians out there who will start horses and develop them, but they kind of have the luxury of their own time frames. But these guys who are competing, they don't have that luxury. They're measuring themselves against basically a different standard, and it's really cool to see all of these ladies that Tootie's invited to participate are of that caliber.
And so now her pen wrangler is going to be.
Richard Winters,
her
yes,
dad.
Yes, yeah. I know. I think it's really great. I have a really great relationship with my dad, and I think it's awesome to see the support that they give one another. And, you know, in some ways it would probably be very rewarding for him to watch his little girl and do some pretty awesome things down there.
I talked to him yesterday, and, you know, I think he's actually more nervous than when he competed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw an interview with Chris Dawson, who's very acclaimed and very accomplished in National Reined Cow Horse as well. That's her husband, yes. And he was saying something about, you know, I only thought I got nervous until now I'm watching my wife compete, and he's really nervous. So it's funny how that changes things.
Well, we're going to talk about our final competitor, but first we have to hear from one of our sponsors, and that's Ice Vibe.
I'm Mary Walker. I'm a barrel racer. I guess it began back when I was probably 10 years old, and I like speed and I like pretty horses. And barrel racing to me is to the top of the level that you can get to is amazing, to watch the animals turn and run as hard and fast as they can. I was actually at a rodeo in Ellensburg, Washington, and saw a lady with Ice Spy boots on. And I went over to her and I said, I have to have a pair of those. Where did you get them? And she couldn't tell me where she got them, so I got online and ordered my first pair. Amazing product. Amazing product. I haven't been through that many pair because they last forever. As soon as I run, his splint boots come off and the Ice Vibes go on. You turn them on and you walk off and you water him, you brush him, you cool the rest of his body down while his legs are being taken care of properly.
World champion barrel racer Mary Walker uses Ice Vibe boots because they combine cooling and massage therapy to effectively treat strains and ligament and tendon damage when used regularly. Ice Vibe boots are ideal for maintenance of horses' legs as a preventative measure against the rigors of daily training. Learn more, and to find a dealer near you, visit icevibe.com. That's icevibe.com. And thank you to Ice Vibe for their support, a title sponsor support of our show, all of our episodes this weekend at Road to the Horse. So now let's talk about our final competitor. We have already talked about Vicki Wilson from New Zealand, the show jumper. We have Rochelle Valentine from Florida, the reiner. We have Sarah Dawson, who is in the cow, horse, and eventing world, and now and the only past competitor here. She's the only one with experience coming in. And then Kate Newbert. I don't know her, so you know a little bit about Kate.
Well, Kate grew up in Northern California, riding, roping, and starting a variety of horses with her father, Brian Newbert, who is a very well-known clinician and has also been a past judge at Road to the Horse. She's worked in the cutting, reining, and cow horse industries, training horses and competing in all three disciplines. Just to give you an idea, some of her achievements include winning the 2012 Pacific Coast Cutting Horse Association Intermediate Open Futurity, and advancing two horses to the semifinals at the 2014 National Cutting Horse Association Futurity. Her first year to show at that prestigious event. So to make it to the finals, the first time you ever showed, says you did a lot of homework and you showed up ready to do a great job, which I imagine we're going to see the same at this event too. Kate's approaching nearly $200,000 in NCHA earnings. So.
Do you know her personally?
I don't know her personally. Trevor has started colts alongside her brothers, Jim and Luke Newbert. So I actually, this is my first time to watch Kate work with a horse live. So looking forward to it a lot.
Very good. And so now you had a little bit of a handle on the variety of women that are competing at this Road to the Horse. So we want to chat a little bit about what it takes to get the job done in 3 days and how it works. And you have a handle on that because you've been down there helping out. So, you know, what are they trying to accomplish? What can you accomplish in really 3 hours of training?
Well, it's really quite amazing what a horse will allow you to accomplish if you present it in the right way in really 30 minutes, 60 minutes, and 3 hours. So as far as the first time, you know, they're going to draw their horses and they're going to have their first session today. One of the things that they'll probably try to accomplish this time is establish a connection with the horse, basically. So whether that's getting the horse to want to be caught, the horses have been not necessarily taught to lead, but enough so that they could handle them for any necessary vet work, et cetera. Sometimes these bigger ranches, they'll tie horses to donkeys, and that's how they start to help them learn to lead, which can be really great as far as a time saver. But sometimes
do they learn to hate donkeys?
No, but they can learn to lean pretty well. So that's one thing that we'll probably see whenever we have the competitors out here is they're going to try to get the horses where, you know, they want to be with the girls, and then they're going to start being able to try to direct their feet so that they can start to help those horses learn that I can send you places and you can find some comfort. And the more you start to listen to my direction, the more you're going to see that I'm here to offer you a really good deal. And I think you're going to see most of these horses get ready to accept the saddle. You're going to see most of these horses get ready to. I wouldn't be surprised if we see these guys get ready to either almost do everything but get on their backs for the first ride, and you may even see some start to put the first ride within this 90 minutes. So there'll be a lot that is accomplished in this first day that sets the pace for the rest of the event. So.
Now, I have a question.
So one of the things that I am really impressed with in the first session is that, like Glenn said, is that you can see some of the temperament of the horses come out. And that's one, because the trainers do a really great job of trying to accomplish something with the horse. And as a spectator, you can see what the horse is tended to do, or will, you know, is apt to do, if they're apt to push, or if they're apt to flight, you know, kind of more of a dominant horse or a bit more skeptical horse. And one of the reasons that, I mean, so the competitors do a great job of kind of pausing when the horse does the right thing, so you can really see what it is the competitor is looking for. But 2D also does an incredible job of getting great horseman's hosts. And so, like, you're going to have Stacy Westfall and Craig Cameron here this year. And one thing I love about them is that, about the hosts, is that they really do a great job of explaining what they're doing, about what the competitors are doing. They make it fun. They know, because they're horsemen themselves, they know what's about to happen before it happens. So we can actually see, you know, they're going to tell us, oh, look at this horse. And about that time, that horse will, you know, kind of wash his mouth and lick his lips. So the fact that she's got those great hosts, it really helps you see and learn what the competitors are doing and how the horses are making progress.
Jennifer, you had a question?
I do. I only got to watch Road to the Horse the one time, and like Glenn, was utterly fascinated. And I noticed the year I was watching that some of the competitors start the horses in various types of bitless headgear, bozals or side pulls, and some use bits. I'm curious about your personal take on this as to whether or not you have a formula that you like to follow, or is it more that you're going to take it on a horse by horse basis, what he gets to wear on his head when you first start?
Well, that's a really great question. It's definitely, I mean, pretty much the canned answer is it depends on the horse, right? But kind of some of the reasons that you might choose a halter or a hackamore or hackamore bozal or a snaffle, there's different reasons. And I can only really speak to some of the things that I've learned, some of the things that I see Trevor do. But tend to, what you'll do is you'll use a hackamore or a bozal or a halter, or, you know, rope halter, rope hackamore. You'll use those because that's what you did on the ground. You establish some of the, I'm going to, you know, put some pressure here. They'll feel the pressure of the halter. And when the rope goes this way, that means that your nose will go, and then your neck will go, your feet will follow, those things. So you're building on a communication that you've already built on the ground. So that's one reason that you might choose to stick with a halter or use a hackamore or a bozal. There's reasons too, you know, different ages of horses and teeth and all that. That's one reason that people will choose a hackamore over a halter, especially with these younger horses. They've got caps, and so they can, the snaffle bit can maybe be uncomfortable for them. However, there are some horses that they're a little bit nervous about you getting on, and especially in some of the time frames that you're doing. So sometimes I'll see some horsemen, they'll put a snaffle in the horse's mouth, and they may not attach the reins, but it gives that horse something to do with their mouth. So, you know, like, okay. Nick went over yesterday in his demo. He was talking about how he was swinging the rope, and it worked out that that horse kind of played with something on the ground while Nick swung his rope in the obstacle course. And it looked like the horse was totally fine, but really what he was just kind of distracted. So sometimes a horseman will use that snaffle bit to help him be a little bit distracted. And also it gets them used to it. And then maybe by the third ride or fourth ride or something, you'll see him actually using that snaffle for some guidance. And then the last thing is, if a horse has really learned to push or pull on that rope halter, like I was talking about earlier, you might go to the snaffle because you might get into a situation that might get out of control, especially in the last day. So a snaffle might be a fresh tool of communication, not so much a more controlling tool of communication, but a fresh tool.
Yeah.
So that's the reasons why you might choose some of those.
Is there
very cool?
And being an English rider, this is something that we are used to, but maybe not in the Western world. In the English world, having two sets of reins on the horse at the same time is not all that uncommon. Is there, now it might not be practical, but is there a rule against having a snaffle and a halter or some such on the horse at the same time, so that the rider can choose which set of reins to use, or do they not need to have a rule because it would just be a stupid thing to do?
No, I don't believe that there's a rule. I've seen it done sometimes, like you'll have a halter hackamore on a horse, and then they'll put the snaffle on just for them to wear it, but then they'll run the reins through the snaffle, so the horse kind of gets a feel of the halter and the snaffle at the same time. I've seen a couple guys do that. But one thing is, it's just a lot of ropes to manage, and like the more ropes you have, the more likely you are to hang yourself, especially on a colt. So in some ways,
so it's a
just
dumb thing
like,
to do, yeah.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, it's not necessarily
a
dumb thing
to do.
It's just you might choose it depending on your skill level. Yeah, depending on the amount of times you've done it.
There's a lot going on at the same time.
Yeah, like if, for example, if you've got a pretty easygoing colt who's, you know, going really nice and you're at home, you might practice that technique for the time that you get on a colt that really needs that that special tool to help them with something. But I would say it's a less chosen method, but it's certainly not, from what my understanding, against the rules. And the better you are at thinking outside the box with horses, the more you're going to get done.
Very good. Well, we're going to have to take a break here, and we're going to we have a couple of cool sound files for you. We're also going to hear a little song from Jared Rogerson, but while Carrie Underwood is actually playing here in the stadium. So we're going to hear from him, and then we're coming back. We'll talk about more about what's going to happen today, and there's some different things also that are happening here this weekend. There's a drill team competition. We have some guests coming up and from that, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun with them too. So we'll be back here in a few minutes.
Cash Owl Company is your proud source for English tack, equipment, and accessories, and they have been for a long time. From cushion pads to saddlebags to fit your English saddle, Cash Owl Company has what you need. Their full line of accessories, such as the rolling crew bag and hay bale bag, help make chores easier and keep you organized at the barn or at a show. Of course, you can still find the same fly protection you've trusted for decades in standard designs or limited edition colors and patterns. If you're looking for a trail jacket, you'll love their new hot leaf camo pattern. You can find the feather flex girth in jump or dressage styles and a wide range of tush cushions to fit your English saddle as well. If you need it, chances are Cash Owl Company has got it. Be sure to check them out at www.cashowlcompany.com.
Proud to announce the winner of El Camino de Caballo, Clinton Anderson. I'm proud to announce the winner of El Camino de Caballo, Clinton Anderson.
The winner this year is Clinton Anderson. The winner is Stacy Westfall and Dr. T. Tarr.
And the winner is Chris Cox. Chris Cox. Richard Winters.
Mr. Craig Cameron.
Craig Cameron, Bluffdale, Texas. The cowboy clinician, he has won Road to the Horse.
From Mineral Wells, Texas, Chris Cox. Team Australia. Guy McLean. On Sneakin' Cat.
The winner is Speedy Cream and Jim Anderson.
Still undefeated and now four-time champion of Road to the Horse, Mr. Chris Cox.
Gonna take her down the road to the rodeo. And with a new tank of fuel and a cool Mountain Dew, I'm gonna do just what I wanna do. We'll be riding wild ponies and chasing pretty girls, shooting for the title, the champion of the world. We'll just show up, take the money and run. Even if I don't win, well, I still have fun. Just riding wild ponies and chasing pretty girls, driving all around the world. Granddaddy said I need to find a girl and settle down. It's a secret to a happy life. Now I'm feeling pretty good. Man, he must have been right. I just found my one and only for the night. Well, Bucky's on the phone and darling's heading home. Me, I just travel wherever I may roam. I just show up, take the money and run. Sometimes I don't win, but I still have fun. Just riding wild ponies and chasing pretty girls, driving all around the world. Girls, finally won the title, the champion of the world. We just show up, take the money and run. Even though I always win, well, I still have fun. Just riding wild ponies and chasing pretty girls, driving all around the world. We'll be driving all around the world. Another half million miles around the world.
Looking for sugar-free horse treats that your horse will love? Then Enjoy Yums are the answer. Made with only 6 ingredients, including rice bran for your natural omega-3s and 6s, and sweetened with only fruits and vegetables. Baked in the USA and personally approved by Scooter, the most famous pony in the world. Developed by a veterinarian with your horse's health and well-being in mind. They come in a convenient heart shape so they can be easily broken and are easily digestible. Available at select retailers across the USA and Canada. Also available online. Look for Equine Enjoy Yums at your store today. Well, we are back here at the Kentucky Horse Park at the All-Tech Arena, and we are here for Road to the Horse, and we're so glad that you're joining us today. Of course, I have Tara Carter here with me, and we're brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products and Horseware.com. Well, we have a guest with us who helped us out last year, and she's a listener of ours and been here for 3 years now, and she worked as guest wrangler last year. We kind of roped her into it, I think.
You wrangled me into wrangling.
Yeah, we wrangled you. Or lassoed her into it. Like, get over here, Linda. So we have Linda Gettick with us. Hi, Linda. Where are you from again?
Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City, Utah. Yeah. And you come down here every year for this. Why do you like Road to the Horse?
Because I learn a lot. I learn a lot as just, you know, an average horse person. And it's just fascinating to think about all that goes into training a horse and in the end, why a good horse is valuable.
If you had to take one big takeaway from the years that you've been here, what would it be?
I think it would be that. It would be that a good horse you should be willing to pay money for. You know, you read the funny, really bad ads on Friday. And, you know, people want a good horse for $400 or something ridiculous like that. Or they, or they want to trade their wild unbroke horse for a dead broke, you know, bomb-proof horse. And it's ridiculous.
You never see those ads in Texas. No,
no, never.
So what 3 things make a good horse to you?
to me? A good mind, first of all. That's kind of what I was thinking about when we saw the Bermuda last night. I mean, and I have never trained a horse myself, so I don't really know what you would look for in this very intense environment. And I know that it's pretty artificial. Most trainers don't train in like 3 hours.
In front of 8,000 people.
Exactly. Yeah. But a good mind and, you know, soundness, obviously good confirmation and stuff. And what else? I don't know. What would you suggest for the third thing?
That's an adult answering that question. If that was a teenage girl answering that question, pretty. How cute they are. Yeah.
I know. I am deliberately trying to hold myself back from saying, oh, the pretty flashy horse.
That matters. That
I
matters.
Picked the pretty gray one. Yeah, so.
That's right.
Did you last night?
Yeah. Did you have a favorite out of the group?
I liked the buckskin, the you know, classic buckskin. There was a kind of dirty buckskin too, but I like that one. And what was the other one? A chestnut with the big blaze. The reason that I like those two was because they both seemed kind of curious, and it seems like that would be a really important characteristic to have in like the obstacle course down here. They need to be curious and not afraid. I think it was the one with the blaze, kind of standing apart from the herd, and he was looking out at the audience, and he just seemed to be curious about what was out there instead of kind of afraid and timid about it.
That's a good point, Tara. All the time when we see the Bermuda come in, you always have one. Every year you have one who's kind of standing out by themselves. They're the loner. And is the loner necessarily a good pick?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes, like, you know, they all have a job within the herd.
Right.
And so, you know, it might be that horse is, he's kind of a bit braver, or he might be a bit more dominant, or, you know, so, or he might be more watching. You know, he notices things across the horizon. So that may or may not be.
He might be the sentry horse.
Right.
Yes. Well, what did you like about that one, Tara?
I think when I was looking at the way he moved a little bit, and then I was looking at his pedigree, and I have to pull it up again to see which one he was.
It was 9 or 10.
Yeah, I think he's 10. Well, 10's one of my favorite numbers, but that's not the reason.
And good luck is another feature to pick. Yeah.
And that's a game I want to play with you guys before...
what's his name?
Right there. So.
It's Boone something.
There's a lot of Boone something.
Smart Hunt.
I think that's
him. Oh, no. Turn the page, Tara. The one I was thinking of was Boone's Crown.
Oh, Boone's Crown. So
we're talking about a different one, maybe.
That sounds like Boone's Farm.
You know, I actually thought this might be one I wouldn't pick.
Did you really? Yeah. Why?
Because
see, I told you I'm not a trainer.
Well, I don't know, but the past Patty's Irish Whiskey horses have bucked a little.
Oh,
okay, there you go. Linda wants a bucking
horse. He did start doing some of that toward the end. So
there you go.
It did give me pause. So I'm going to go with the buckskin now.
Right, before you close that, I always choose racehorses by their names.
Yeah.
That's how I pick who's going to win a race. Everybody knows that in the audience, right? Yep. So we're going to run real quick through the 12 horses' names, and you have to pick by name alone.
Okay.
All right. So we have Tough Cowboy, Rockin' Jess, Rockin' Flow, Smart Hunt, Little River Boone, Country Six Gun, Boone's Knockout, Playin' a Seven, Six's Captain, Perfect Oats, Boone's Crown, and Boone's River Lad. I'll go first. I'd have to pick Perfect Oats, just because I think it's a great name.
That is a good name.
I just like the name. Perfect Oats. Do you have a favorite by name?
Probably Smart Hunt.
Smart Hunt?
Ooh, I would pick Little River Boone for the name. It just sounds peaceful. I'm after peaceful.
I like that.
If you're a gambling person, you might want to pick Playin' a Seven, which, by the way, is the gray that I liked.
Yes.
What did you think, Tara? I'm curious about the rearing number seven. What was his name, Glenn? Number seven? The one that was rearing and challenging the other colts?
Yeah, they don't have them numbered here in the book, so I can't tell.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Number seven was Boone's Knockout.
Boone's Knockout.
Oh, I think I saw him more in the back than I did out here.
Yeah.
And he was kind of walking around, pinning his ears. And sometimes that can be a nice thing. So
maybe
he was
just
really.
They
did you
guys.
See him, Glenn?
They could have been just hungry. He's a guy.
Yeah.
Did you see him, Glenn, out here? He was rearing and challenging other colts. I mean, it was quite a show. It was perfect for the Bermuda thing.
Sometimes, and that's one of the things that I've heard some of the competitors talk about is, Like if you're going to go as far as into a performance discipline, there's some horses that kind of have a bit more grit or more salty. And so you'd like that long term.
Yeah. Maybe I was wondering about that too.
Yeah.
And he obviously has good balance because he was up on his hind end for a while. Hey, I want to tell you real quick.
Yeah.
I talked to Dr. Blodgett yesterday and asked.
Dr. Blodgett is the owner, right, of the six?
He's the manager.
The manager?
And he's the vet.
Four Sixes Ranch, where the horses came from.
And I asked him, since we're featuring the females this year, why we're not training fillies.
That's a good question.
I'm including myself.
That's a good question.
That's right.
And he told me, and it's probably obvious to you since you're on a ranch, he told me that with the fillies, Tootie just decided to do the Year of the Cowgirl last year, 1 year ago. And you'd have to plan, because they're three-year-olds,
had to start
4 years ahead of time.
Yeah,
and mostly people want geldings in ranch work, I guess. So the mares are sold usually for brood mares or whatever people want to use them for, or they're kept by Four Sixes for brood mares.
Tara, will they sell them off as yearlings and 1 year, 2 year olds?
Yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't. So most ranches have some, and they'll select at different ages. So, but sometimes different ranches will choose to start their fillies to see what they're like, smoothness-wise, learning-wise, and then decide to keep them as a brood mare. So.
Oh, yeah, interesting. Yeah. Well, and I think in the third year of Road to the Horse, they did train fillies. That was what they were doing that year.
Yeah, the program's really great. It has some really fun facts about the different years.
But it would have been cool. It would have been cool to watch them train fillies. Yes. Anyway.
And we should mention that the ones that are not picked, so there'll be eight of them that are not picked this year, are sold here and almost always are sold, are bought by the spectators.
Well, I want to know who buys number 7, the rearing guy.
It'll be the one with the broken leg next year.
Back next year.
That's the guy who bought them. He'll be the cast. I'm just picking on number 7. You watch. That'll be the first one picked.
What's
today.
Its name in there, Glenn?
Boone's Knockout.
Boone's Knockout.
Which is appropriate for the
horse. It totally fits.
That's perfect. Well, thank you, Linda Geddick, so much for joining us here. And thank you for listening all these years, too. You've been listening to us, so we appreciate it.
We have
listeners in the audience. They were waving to us earlier. April's here with all her friends.
Good.
And you know about the meetup tonight?
Yeah.
7:30.
Where are we meeting?
We're meeting at the Midway, at the Grey Goose restaurant in Midway.
Okay.
At 7:30. You can Google that.
I'll put it in the
GPS.
And
I emailed it to you, too.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
So we'll see you there.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks, Linda. And thanks for helping us out here. And the next guest can come in. So there's a lot of competitions going on here this weekend. Not only breaking colts, but we also have a competition of drill teams. And that's right. There's 4 drill teams competing this weekend. We have the Young Guns 4-H drill team. We have Primetime Express drill team, the Diamond D Cowgirls drill team, and the Norwegian Fjord quadrille drill team. Isn't a quadrille only 4? There were like 20 of them in the ring. I don't know.
4 times 4.
4 times 4? Okay, good. I was trying to figure that out yesterday, actually. But we have some of the girls here from Primetime Express. Introduce yourself, ladies.
Hi, my name is Tanya Green, and we're from Central Texas.
Central Texas?
And my name is Bree Ingram.
Oh, and I said, bring the one with the best Southern accent. I think we got 2 here. I think our foreign listeners, for some reason, especially the European listeners in Sweden and in England and everything, love Southern accents. So you guys are perfect.
We don't even realize it.
What accent?
Right.
So tell us a little bit about Primetime Express.
So Primetime Express started as a 4-H mounted drill team because we were all youngsters. And we all grew up, and so we started riding with our mothers and our grandmothers, and we just built an open team. So we've been together for about 15 years.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
We've seen a lot of 4-H drill teams over the years, and you guys are far surpassing any 4-H drill team. Let me tell you, you're really good.
You should have seen us when we started. We've come a long way.
Lots of practice and hard work.
Yeah, you can tell you guys do a great job.
So what are you all one breed of horse or do all different horses? What?
Yes, we all have quarter horses.
All have quarter horses? Because it seems every drill team is a little different that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's some teams that have all paint horses, some teams that have all bays, but we have an assortment for sure.
Now, you guys, when you're going to a competition like this, are there mandatory moves like in figure skating, let's say? Everybody has to do mandatory moves, and then you also have your own freestyle. How's it work competition-wise?
So for this competition, they came up with a list of maneuvers. And so they just gave us the list and we just had to have those in there. So it didn't matter which order we were in or whatever, but our drill master is, she likes to make things better. So she put some different maneuvers in there also.
There were some movements that I never saw before yesterday when you guys were out there. And I thought I had seen most of the drill team movements over the years, but there were some movements I haven't seen before. Does anybody on the drill team trick ride too?
Yes, there's a few of us. We can do the hippodrome stand and do a few other maneuvers, but we pretty much focus on our drill team practicing and everything. So that's what we really enjoy.
What's the hardest part? Other than, well, maybe... Well, wait a minute. We got a lot of teenage girls hanging out together, so there's that. But besides that,
right,
horse-related.
Yeah, horse-related.
It just depends. Like for this event, we started practicing twice a week, so it was kind of hard to get all of our schedules put together in that we would be there on time and for practice. But with hard work and dedication, we were able to get it done.
Now, do you? Obviously, you're competing several times this weekend, right? There's not just once?
Yes, sir. We competed yesterday, and then we'll compete today.
Today, okay. Are they the same drill both times, or are they different?
We'll have the same drill, but we'll have two different outfits and two different music types that we ride to.
Ah, God. The music is so important, because I got to tell you, we were sitting watching it from the audience, and... The music made a world of difference for us, and it didn't really matter how good you guys were. That selection of music is very important.
The music really gets us into it, and just it's a feel. Drill is a feel, and if you don't have that feel, I mean, there's nothing else like it.
And it's for the audience, too.
Yes.
It gets the audience into it.
We'll have practices, and we won't have music, and we'll think that was terrible, and then we'll ride with music, and we just feel it.
Yeah.
It's so much better.
So what music will you ride to today?
We call it our Lady CD. It's a pop CD, and we have it pretty much focuses around just ladies. It's Christina Aguilera and ladies like that. So just a little fun upbeat ride.
Yeah, great. I'm looking forward to that.
That's cool. Carrie Underwood's my favorite. So
yes, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, if you throw some Carrie in there, I'll be happy too. So, well, good luck today, guys. We really appreciate you stopping by, and we'll be watching.
Thank you so much.
Is there a website?
Thank you for having us.
Do you have a website?
We have
a Facebook.
We have a Facebook, Primetime Express.
Primetime Express on Facebook. And you travel around and do different shows and events, too?
We do. We do parade shows, competitions.
What's the coolest thing you've ever done other than this? Let's throw this out.
We have actually been to the Rose Parade twice.
Oh, you did the Rose Parade?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Oh, that's so cool. So having 8,000 people here is nothing like having a million people along the parade route.
Right.
It was 8 miles.
Now, we covered the Rose Parade for many, many years here on the Horse Radio Network, and all the people who are there with horses say the same thing. The hardest part is the night before, is getting set up on a highway, being awake all night, getting lined up hours in advance, trying to keep your horses from going nuts.
Yes.
All of that true.
Lack of sleep.
Lack of sleep.
We rented a 18-wheeler to haul our horses out there, and we flew. So we rented a RV to sleep in on the interstate. So we were all sleeping in one little area while we were there.
Packed.
Well, that must have been interesting.
If you can imagine 12, 14 women in one RV.
And there's always one that snores every single time.
Oh, yes. Of course.
No. Not when you don't sleep, because there's 14 women in one RV. Yeah. No one snores then. So.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes.
You guys truly have video and pictures and Snapchat and all that.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, my gosh. That would have been fun to watch.
Yeah. That's interesting, too, because that's a two-hour parade along 5 miles, right?
And a lot of us stood on our hippodrome straps the whole way.
Oh, how'd you do that?
That's what Liz was telling me about.
That was foot cramps.
Oh, the Great American Cowgirls do that, and they ride that parade.
Yes, they're amazing. Yes.
How do you do that for that long? Do you sit down at all?
Yes.
Grin and bear it, Glenn. Grin and bear it. Never we
smile and say, I can do this. I can do this. Stay positive.
And then a million people screaming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your adrenaline's kind of rushing because all the people, so you can push through.
That was another question I had. Does your adrenaline stop an hour in, or does it keep going the whole time?
it's just something different every turn we made. So it was just people everywhere. So it was awesome.
And they always seem to put you guys, the horse units, behind the loudest band or the biggest, noisiest float that's shooting fire. Did you have that happen?
We have many times.
Yeah.
Many times.
Happens every time. I don't know.
At what point of that parade did your horses settle in? Like, or did they settle in straight away because this is old hat for them?
It just depends. We have some young horses that aren't used to it, but we try to desensitize before we go, you know, at practices and everything. So
the first year we went, we didn't know what to expect. So we had leaf blowers, medicine balls, everything else in the arena because we were trying to get them desensitized to anything.
Did you have little kids throwing candy at you? Because that's
Oh, so you guys have a full appreciation and understanding for the obstacle course that goes on here.
For sure.
Yeah, you probably even have some tips for the trainers. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
We try to get some from them, too.
Yeah.
Well, you guys did great yesterday. We got to watch the whole thing, and you were one of our picks. So
awesome. Thank
now,
you
we
so
know
much.
Nothing, so that's...
take that for whatever it's worth.
We're not judging. They didn't ask us, so...
Well, but they're letting the fans judge.
So are they?
You can go to roadtothehorse.com website. And that's where you can vote for these guys.
So I can go vote?
Yes, you can go
vote. You can vote as many times as you'd like.
Well, I'm going to vote for these guys then.
That's right.
Thank you.
So, I believe it starts at 1 today, the voting. Okay.
You know, everybody that comes on will say the same thing, right?
Right.
Just kidding. Thanks, guys. Primetime
Thank
Express.
Thank you so much.
Look them up on Facebook.
Thank you.
Good luck today.
And their website is primetimeexpressmountedrilltream.com.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Tara, looking that up.
Okay. Thank you guys so
Thank
much.
Thank you.
You know, we use boots because we're barefoot at our farm. My driving pony and Jennifer's fox hunter, we go barefoot. And the reason we can do that is because of Cavallo boots. So let's hear a little bit from them.
Cavallo hoof boots are easy to get on and stay on in all types of terrain and activities. Unique drainage slots allows water to drain out quickly, and they are super easy to take off too. With Cavallos, you spend your time on the trail with your best friend, not wasting time putting on complicated hoof boots. You get confidence and security with their Best Boot Ironclad Warranty. Cavallo hoof boots take you where you want to go.
Cavallo boots are the ones that my wife and I use on our horses every day. They are simple enough, even for this horse husband. We have never had an issue with them coming off. There's no breakable parts, gadgets, or cables. I can't recommend these highly enough. Visit their website at cavallo-inc.com. That's cavallo-inc.com. Or if you're here at Road to the Horse, get yours at Valley Vet, booth 208. That's Valley Vet, booth 208. Well, thank you for sticking with us here at Horses in the Morning. You are listening to our live coverage here at Road to the Horse. Now, it's day one, so there's not much happening. If you missed the beginning of this episode, definitely go back and take a listen to it in our recorded version. Easiest way to do that is our app, iOS or Android. Just search for Horse Radio Network. We have another guest coming up from one of the other drill teams here, the Fjord Ponies that we got to see in the barns yesterday, where fjords are always cute. But while we're waiting for Phil to show up, we wanted to talk to you a little bit about the history of Road to the Horse. It started in Texas, didn't it?
It did. It started in 2003, and they called it El Camino del Caballo.
El Camino del Caballo.
It was in Fort Worth, and they had less than 200 fans attend. So that year...
A little
year,
different from the 8,000 now.
Yeah, just a little bit. That year, they had Kurt Pate, Josh Lyons, and Clinton Anderson. And Clinton Anderson actually won the first event, riding a horse named Hancock Sugg. And that year, he stood on his horse, and that is what inspired the logo that we see in Road to the Horse today. So
the Road to Horse logo with the person standing on a horse was Clinton Anderson.
Yeah, that's
okay, I didn't know that.
Clinton Anderson behind the...
Well, and, you know, that is the year of the ladies, and we have had a few lady competitors over the years, and one that even won. Only one that won, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that the third year that Road to the Horse... Well, actually, the second year they moved to Tennessee, and then they decided to name it Road to the Horse.
Murfreesboro.
Right. And then one year, they went from 200 fans to 4,000 fans.
Oh, wow.
Sellout. So that year, they had Craig Cameron, Van Hargis,
that's
Clinton
just
Anderson.
Fans
won
showed
again.
Up.
Yeah, that's right. Like, I got to see this guy stand on a horse. So then the next year, 2D did the event again. And that year, they had Van Hargis, Martin Black, Craig Cameron, and Stacy Westfall.
And she was the first female competitor and female winner.
Yeah. And
first lady of Road to the Horse.
You heard that sound file here a little bit ago, but if you saw the video, she was truly shocked when they made the announcement. She had no idea. You could tell she did not think she was going to be winning this thing. She has an important role this weekend, and she is one of the hosts here on the floor, which means they're doing the emceeing, basically. They do the emceeing the whole weekend. And this is first time I can remember a female doing that too.
Yes. Yeah. I think a lot of people were hoping that she would be a competitor of Road to the Horse. And I remember her saying something to the effect of, like, she's kind of choosing roles like first lady, not presenter, but horseman's host.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of neat that she's doing some really great first roles.
She is kind of the first lady of this event, but also, you know, I'm looking right now. They're lined up. What's happening on the arena floor right now is all the competitors are down there and some of the celebrities that are here, including Stacy. I can see the back of her head. Stacy Westfall are signing autographs. When she is in the arena, she has the longest line of anybody for signatures. Stacy is truly one of the true celebrities of this world.
Yeah, she's really genuine.
And it was that video. It was that bridleless, bitless video from years ago at it was AQHA finals.
Congress, I believe.
Congress, mm-hmm. Yeah. And that went million downloads and it just went crazy. And that video really sent her to the top. And she'll say that. Yeah.
But she also could back it up too.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
So you can see it and then you're like, oh, well, she actually developed that horse, trained that horse, does that horse, did it again. You
know, and it was kind of controversial when she did that bitless, bridleless, saddleless demonstration. Yeah. They weren't going to let her in the ring that year because it had not been done before. And they weren't even sure it was allowed in the rules.
Yeah.
And I think she just said, well, I'm going in, you know.
Yeah.
And then the audience went absolutely nuts. And that was it. I mean, they couldn't say no at that point
because
she was they just went crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of cool. But that's what's happening right now is they're down on the floor. So as far as the schedule today is concerned, we have a number of things that are going to happen before we get to the Remuda coming in and competitors, the ladies picking the horses. And Tara's furiously looking through the beautiful program, trying to find the schedule.
It's so content packed.
It
program.
Is.
It's
awesome. There's a lot of stuff in here. So we're going to see a couple demonstrations too. We're going to see two of the competitors, or actually, we're going to see two of the competitors. Yeah, Vicki Wilson and Kate Newbert are going to be doing clinics. I can't wait to see what Vicki does with her horses because she does clinics. And jumps saddleless and does all kinds of things in her clinics.
I think she's using Dan James horses. I think
is she using Dan's horses?
That's what I heard. It may not be.
We got to see Dan a little bit yesterday, and Dan was kind enough to join us on our coverage for live last year for Sunday. And we have some special guests lined up for Sunday, don't we?
We do.
Yeah. Have we any confirmed that are going to join us?
We're going to have Chris Cox with us. We're going to have Kelly Newbert, who is a sister-in-law to Kate Newbert and quite the horsewoman herself.
And quite a bubbly character.
Yes.
Yeah, she'll be fun.
It's going to be really great. And, and then Vicky's sister, Kelly Wilson, is going to come on. We just don't know in what order they're going to come because it's going to partly depend on when the draw is for their sisters and sister-in-laws to go.
So they'll be joining us for our 4 hours of live coverage of the finals here on Sunday. There's also, and we got to talk to him, there's a guy who does sheepdogs here, and we got to talk to him on an interview a couple of weeks ago, but we have not seen him. We did see the dog. We did get to see the dogs on the stage from here, but we're going to go round him up and make sure he comes on tomorrow too.
His demo yesterday was really good. And
yeah, it's fun to see those dogs work. They love their jobs.
They do. He actually had a human go out and do the work of the sheep.
Oh, really?
The dog supposed
run
to
run around?
Yeah, and it was like,
disaster.
Oh, this is why you need a dog. Yeah, so
that's kind of funny. Yeah. That's a good demonstration. Actually, I missed that one.
Yeah, it's comical.
So 3 o'clock today is when they're going to pick their horses, and 4 o'clock will be when they're going to do their first round of training. And then tomorrow morning, we'll be back at 9 a.m. Eastern. We'll be here and we'll give you a wrap up of today's competition and what happened with all four competitors and their horses. And then also, we'll have a bunch of guests that we're lining up for you tomorrow, too. So we'll have all kinds of guests on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll have last year's champion, Nick Gowers, is going to join us. So.
Oh, good. Yeah. Did he make it? He's going to be here?
He is.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Good. I saw him here yesterday. He was doing a demonstration here as well. So to remind everybody, we are going to do a meetup for those of you that are listeners and friends of the Horse Radio Network tonight. We're going to be doing that at 7:30. It's going to be in a little town of Midway, which is a cute little town. And the name of the restaurant is the Grey Goose. I actually ate there last night with friends and had the best gluten-free pizza I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
It was really, really good.
Cool.
It was actually the best gluten-free pizza I've ever had. I said, where do you guys get this? And she said, I have no idea, but everybody raves about the gluten-free pizza here. She said, people who aren't even gluten-free get it because it's so good. And it truly did not taste like cardboard.
Yeah, that's right.
Like
yeah.
most of them do.
Yeah.
You have a son with that situation. So yeah, he would love this pizza.
Yeah.
It's really good.
We actually went to a place called Kraft and Boom, and it's an ice cream specialty shop.
Yeah, Kraft and
really
Boom.
Amazing. Yeah, Kraft and Boom.
Everybody has favorite.
Crank and Boom.
I never heard of it. And I used to live here. It must be a new thing.
It is. It's kind of a cool, like, almost like industrial district, and they've redone it with some different restaurants.
When people come to Lexington, there's a few restaurants they always want to hit up, and that's Jalapenos, which is the Mexican choice, which probably doesn't compare to any of the Mexican you have where you live, but that's always a choice. And then Ramsay's is a local diner here. And if you're looking for a hot brown, Ramsay's is the place to get the hot brown. And guaranteed, it'll only be about 10,000 calories.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the Horse Radio Network banner just came up on the Jumbotron.
Hey,
look at us. So Ramsay's is great for hot browns. And then the other place that people want to go to is Red State Barbecue.
That's just around the corner.
Yeah, just around the corner. Mm-hmm. And they have really good barbecue. So those are the places that people look for. While they're here at Road to the Horse. Well, Jennifer, did you have any other questions for us today before we wrap up coverage here? Oh, I'm not sure I have, Jennifer.
Yeah, you do. So, you do.
Oh, okay.
Do we know who picked which horse yet?
No, that'll be this afternoon. They'll pick the horses. So this afternoon, they'll make the choices on the horse. They'll run them out here and they'll get to pick them. They've all been able to look, and they kind of have ideas of who they're going to pick, but that will happen this afternoon.
Oh, okay. That was my question.
Okay, good. Good. So I think we'll wrap up today's coverage from A Road to the Horse. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here with us today. We appreciate you stopping by. Don't forget, you can find us, the recorded version of this show and all the weekend shows and all of our shows on the Horse Radio Network, all 6,300 episodes at horseradionetwork.com. Tara, where can they find you?
You can find us at CarterRanchHorse.com, or we're on Facebook under Carter Ranch Horse.
And why would people find you? What do you do?
We train horses, and we teach people how to train horses, and that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Okay, good. And it doesn't matter on breed. Do you do English horses there?
We do the foundation more on English horses, but then when it comes time to performance, like we have some Grand Prix horses that come in for starting under saddle, and they're with us for 3 to 4 months to get some good experience.
Most people don't realize that most of the professional English riders send their horses to Western trainers to get started. It's true.
Yeah. And then for those that finish on, like into ranch horse or cow horse, then those usually stay around for longer.
And your husband, speaking of Trevor, is competing. The reason he's not here is he's competing this weekend.
That's right. Yeah, he's competing in Houston at AQHA's Ranch Horse Versatility World Show. So
this is the big show?
This is the big show. Yeah, they worked all last year to qualify for it, and this year they're there.
So. What? Just out of curiosity, what do they compete in ranch?
Ranch horse versatility. It has different events. So the there's some cow events. So there's cutting and cow working, like cow horse. So you know, box on the end, hold the cow on the end, and then take it, turn it down the fence, and then you either circle it in a figure of eight or you rope the cow. So it's very much like ring cow horse. And then they have a trail obstacle, and then they have a ranch riding pattern, which for some of you, it'd be like Western horsemanship. It's, you know, it's just a simple ground pattern, but you're riding. And then they have halter. So
they have halter in that too?
They have a halter class, yes. But you can't be in halter unless you actually compete in the event. So it's very different style.
So the horse in that case ropes the cow?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Well, that's good. That'd be fun. That'd be fun to watch. This, you know, one of the things I like about that particular competition is it truly goes back to what horses were used for in this country.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's the basic skills of dealing with cattle.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, it's what, I mean, what the horses that the 4.6s are bringing here for. These are the jobs that they would do every day, the purpose that they would have every day. And they're really focusing on their ranching heritage program now, too, which is what 4.6s are, ranching heritage breeders. And
Did Trevor compete yesterday?
He did, yeah.
And how'd he do?
He's doing really well. He's in the top five headed into the all-around for the weekend.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. We'll see. Okay, today's the cow events. Today's the start of the cow event, so things get a little more unpredictable.
So the question we always have on horses in the morning is there any money to win in that particular sport?
There is in the ranching heritage, because as breeders, we pay an additional fee. So there is some money in the ranching heritage, and there is some in the world show, but for the most part, it's points and ribbons.
So pretty much what we're still coming down to is reining and jumping are the two places where you win money.
Yeah, and rein cow horse and rode to the horse.
There you go.
Your That's odds right. are really good at Road to the Horse.
Yeah, yeah, it's one in four instead of one in a thousand.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, very good. And then, of course, that's Carter with a C, CarterRanchHorse.com. You can find all the links to all of our episodes at horsesinthemorning.com or horseradionetwork.com. And you, also, as I said, if you missed any part of this live show, you can come back and take a listen to the recorded version later in the day. Thank you, Jennifer, for all of your fighting and putting everything together this morning. But it came out great, so you did a good job. And we really appreciate you producing the show from back in the studio in Ocala. We will be here for an unusual Saturday and Sunday episode. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. and then again Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We'll see you then, everybody. Take care.